You're just seconds away from this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. In the event of an accident, every second is important. Fortunately, help is on the way thanks to RAC Rescue Helicopters, ready to take flight every hour of every day.
He's the 30th Premier of our great state and Rockingham's favourite son. Please welcome Mark McGowan.
A raft of changes announced overnight from the Premier and the government. Let's see, mask mandates dropped from Friday. Other changes include removing capacity limits at all venues, G2G pass system dropped, proof of vaccination requirements gone for venues. Vaccination mandates for some workplaces do remain. The Premier joins us now. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're all right, Premier. How are you? I'm actually in the last day of my own personal ISO, and I know that you've had COVID, and of course your kids were very sick at one point. Everyone doing okay your end?
Yeah, no, everyone's good now. Yeah, everyone's good. I'm pretty good. So my isolation finishes tomorrow.
I can. It sounds like there's still a little bit of a croak in your voice, mate. Is that? I'm hearing that a bit actually. People who cop a bit of COVID still have some lasting effects for a bit.
Yeah, there might be a little bit, you know, but I'm feeling pretty good now. A bit rough for a few days, but feeling pretty good now. My boy's feeling much better as well.
Oh, great stuff. Now, Premier, we know that you and your government have received a lot of heat and a lot of vitriol from various members of the community waiting, demanding, pleading for some of these things to happen, which as of Friday will be happening, some of these lifting of restrictions. You've called this the sort of soft landing from COVID that we were hoping for. So is this essentially what you were planning for and you're quite pleased with where we're at?
That'd be a correct assessment. We've done really well. And whilst we're not out of it yet and we still have cases every day and people in intensive care, the numbers are much lower than we expected and the numbers in hospital much lower than we expected. So we're pretty confident we can take these measures as of Friday. Bear in mind, there's still some restrictions in place. You know, you've got to wear a mask in some environments and when you visit a hospital, you've got to do certain things and a few of those sorts of things, but apart from that, so it's basically very few restrictions. The only thing I'd say to people is just use common sense. You know, if you're sick, don't go to work. Don't go out. If you're positive, stay home. If you want to wear a mask when you're out, feel free to wear a mask. There's no rule that says you can't wear a mask, and in fact, I reckon a lot of people will.
Premier, it says here, you know, the vaccination mandates for some workplaces will remain. Can you just describe to us which workplaces those are?
Well, in hospitals and aged care and those two, and disability care, in prison environment, when you catch public transport, when you catch an Uber or a taxi, or when you're at an airport or an aircraft.
Okay. Now, Premier, I'd like to sort of move off COVID momentarily and talk about, obviously, the federal election, which is another big thing that's happening in our lives at the moment. And I know that both sides are really promoting our Northwest as an engine room for the economy, as it has been for many decades, and long may it continue. But are we looking after our environment, or are we pretty much just going to open ourselves to anything that anyone... any project that anyone suggests?
No, we have very strong environmental protections and very strong environmental laws. And obviously both sides are sort of, you know, talking out Western Australia today. Mm. And the truth is Western Australia has been the engine room of the national economy. And certainly during COVID, when we kept it out, all their economies went into freefall. We managed to provide a lot of the income that they relied upon. Remember those big bailout packages for New South Wales and Victoria? You know, someone has to pay for those. Yeah. So Western Australia continuing to be operational with virtually no disruption. In fact, there was no disruption to any of our industries. Helped keep the national economy afloat.
Premier, and just before we let you go, WA, it seems to be the centre of the universe when it comes to this election. First time that I can ever remember this being the case. I mean, I'm sure we've never seen federal government enter the state as often as we have the past couple of weeks, and surely over the next few weeks as we come closer and closer to the election. Are you taking the opportunity to, I mean, for want of a better term, squeeze the federal government for better things here for WA.
Well, I've done a lot of that over the last 5 years, get as much as we can out of them. But I think what is very noteworthy is shortly the federal opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, and his team will be launching their campaign for Perth. And that's the first time in Australian history that a major political party has actually launched their campaign from Perth. So looking forward to some important announcements out of that, and shows that Western Australia is actually being noticed, certainly by Anthony. He's taking a great deal of notice and launching his campaign here.
Woohoo! We finally matter.
Well, normally I do it in Sydney, you know? It's always Sydney.
Exactly.
Here they are. They're doing it in Perth. So
unreal. Premier, we'll leave you to it. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Very excited to see these mandates and such lifted, but obviously off the back of some great work by WA. So good stuff.
Yeah, West Australia's done a great job, I'd like to say that, and followed the rules and just accepted all the advice. It's just been terrific. And so now we can reap the rewards.
I'm technically at the last couple of days of having to ISO, so obviously I've got COVID-19. I tested positive on Wednesday of last week. And I guess, Pete, you know, before this happened, we know KC's got it and we wish her well. You know, we were sitting there going, I guess at some point this is inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah. We're probably going to get it. And so I'm sure what I'm going through, you know, lots of other people have gone through already, and probably by the end of this year, nearly the whole of Perth will have gone through. But we do live in a time where everyone's story is so important to be told, even if it's exactly the same as everyone else's. So here's my version of hashtag Matt's COVID journey. It was a Wednesday morning when I spat into my rat test and it came up positive. I can't continue. But I tell you, I did, Petey, we spoke about this, and funny things that go through your mind. I got a little bit embarrassed because the first couple of days I was quite sick.
How sick is quite sick? Because you hear various accounts of... You know, how this is hitting people. And for some, it's a sniffle. And for others, it's, you know, you're bedridden for a week.
And that's it. And that's why I say, and I use the, you know, I understand how silly it is, but I actually started to feel a little embarrassed because everyone that we'd come in contact with at work had gone, oh, yeah, I breezed through. But I was here. I was on my own. My wife, T, and Steppy D were down south. And, you know, I had some really bad days of fever. I reckon I lost about 3 or 4 kilos.
Wow.
And, you know, when you're on your own, I was doing what I could. My wife had done a big Coles shop and basically just got me meat.
Right.
that I could throw in the oven. So if I could get myself out of bed, I just sort of sat near the open oven and feasted on something that used to live. But it was a few days of going, oh, how am I going to get really sick here? So that was a bit frightening. And there's nothing like being on your own at 3 a.m. for the demons to play in your mind, you know.
Did you have the fast beating heart? My brother had it a couple of weeks ago, and that was the thing that was keeping him up late at night when he was freaking out about the fact that he's caught COVID. And because for him, he was like, oh my God, I think I need to go to the hospital. Do I need to go to the hospital? My heart's beating fast. Am I about to have a... Because like all around us as well, there's... You know, consistent stories of people having heart issues and so on and so forth. So it's a very real thing.
Oh, mate, you're talking to a bloke who has at least 16 coffees a day. I mean, I live for that feeling.
He's Australia's go-to guy for all things technology. From EFTM.com, please welcome Trevor Long.
That's what everybody's talking about at the moment. Elon Musk buying Twitter for Australian $60-odd billion. Trevor Long is our tech expert. Just before we get to you, mate, I mean, this seems to be what it's all about.
Well, I think it's very important that it be an inclusive arena for free speech. Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. So it's just really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they are able to speak freely within the bounds of the law.
Good morning to you, Trev. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I see it exactly that way. He's had to really come back a bit on those comments, though, because he keeps talking about free speech, but this morning he had to correct himself, and he's Anyone on Twitter knows what this means. He's pinned this tweet so that it's very clear. He says, by free speech, I simply mean which matches the law. Because you can't just allow people to say anything anywhere on the planet, let alone on the internet, because there's laws around what you can say about people, about things, defamation. So he's got to be a bit careful because there's always going to be restrictions on what the platform can allow people to do.
Now, Trev, obviously Elon makes news whenever he decides to make news. So how, apart from a man flashing around his substantial wallet, how important is this as an event, either culturally or historically?
Do you know, I actually think that's a great question. I'm not sure it is significant broadly. I think this is just significant because the bloke is able to reach into the glove box of his Tesla and get $60 billion. For us, this is equivalent to one of us buying a new car. This is a purchase for him that he probably didn't even ask his wife about. I think it is significant because it's the biggest ever purchase by an individual in corporate history that I'm aware of. And he wants to make Twitter a very important part of the public discourse, which is awesome. But you've got to remember, Twitter is also way behind everything else in terms of social media platforms, from YouTube to Facebook to Instagram and TikTok. Twitter is the poor little cousin, and I don't know that he can create it or make it any bigger. He's only going to make it better in his eyes.
I think, look, you know, looking at this as somebody who is a prolific user of Twitter, we were having a bit of a chat. Wonderful suggestion from this man, by the way. What was the app that you suggested to me on Twitter yesterday?
Adobe Premiere Rush. Great for editing videos on the go.
Yeah, so great. Trevor, always, you know, flicking through your twits as well. But, I see this as a really clever purchase because you say it's the poor cousin. I think for $60-odd billion, even though he paid a premium on it, to pick up a platform that's as loud a mouthpiece as Twitter is, it's going to eventually, I reckon, look quite cheap. But where does he get the $60 billion from? I know he's a very rich man, but where does that, in terms of like cash changing hands, where does he pull it from?
Well, this is the interesting part. It's not like he actually has the cash sitting around or in a bank account. He's going to have to sell down stuff. Tesla stock, his car company, is down dramatically today because essentially he's going to have to sell down some of his Twitter stock to liquidate. So that's what happened. He's going to liquidate some stock. He's going to have to move assets to actually buy this thing. So, you know, it's a fascinating thing, wealth. I don't understand it because I don't have it. But, you know, to be valued at, you know, $300 billion is great. But to actually go and buy something is a very different thing when the money isn't tangible.
Now, Trev, this is a question that probably needs a dinner party and a couple of bottles of red to get to some sort of an answer. But, you know, we expect a lot of these platforms, and I guess at the end of the day, I'm talking in terms of that freedom of speech ethos. At the end of the day, can we ever have a platform where anything goes? And is that actually what we should be aiming for? Or do we always have to sort of be hamstrung? Perhaps some people would consider it hamstrung by the laws of whatever government happens to be in power of that time.
I think it's fine to be hamstrung by the laws of government, and we should be.
Yep.
But the platform can thrive with one simple thing. If he rang me today and said, what should I do, Trev? I'd say, look back at the words you said yesterday, Elon. He said, we should authenticate all humans. Now, put aside any privacy concerns you have, because that's just silly. If you want to tweet on Twitter under a name, you should be given the right to verify yourself and say, here's my driver's license, here's my ID, I'm a real person, that's my account. And from that day forward, your name is stuck on that account. Twitter knows who you are. And anything you say, you're liable for. That's what the Australian government wants from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and others. So I think Elon should adopt the Australian government's plan and make it an authenticated platform so that what I say is my word. And if I'm to be held to account, so be it.
I'll be honest with you, Trev. I did not know that that wasn't the case already. I assumed stupidly and blindly that if one made comments on any platform, that one's name would be attached to it. So, yes, that would be a good thing.
It's theoretically possible to track down everyone who writes something on the internet. But if I try hard enough, I can cloak my identity, cloak my location, cloak my computer so that it's very hard. And the law enforcement for a defamation case, you know, it's not like they're going to push that hard. You know, if we're talking drug trafficking and murder, then maybe they'll track you down. But the bottom line is it's unauthenticated. And if he creates an authentication, it could become a powerful platform that is a genuine town square.
Oh, Trevor, I'll tell you what, as a Twitter user, the idea of having a blue tick, I'm salivating.
I'm not proposing that those people get green ticks. I want my blue tick to be different.
I got a blue tick on my rat test this morning.
Hey, Trev, EFTM.com, if you want to go and check out all of Trev's stuff and keep yourself up to date, thanks for joining us as always, mate. We appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure.
We're over to India. With something that caught our eye this morning, with a man found with a kilogram of gold stuffed in his bot.
Authorities at India's Chennai International Airport caught two men arriving from Dubai who had suspicious hairstyles. Officers arrested Zubair Hassan Rafayuddin and Makroob Akbar Ali after it turned out the men used wigs to smuggle cash and gold underneath them. The gold paste packets underneath the wigs weighed around 1.5 pounds. Gold was also found in their underwear, socks, as well as rectum. The overall total of foreign currency and gold seized was $382,943.
Okay, I'm glad we got clarity there, because I was thinking perhaps the strange hairstyle happened when one inserted the gold into one's rectum, just through pure shock.
I mean, like, there's so many things that they covered off there, but yeah. 300 and something odd thousand dollars worth of gold, right? Which, you know, when you're putting it in pockets and you're putting it under like hair pieces and toupees and you're putting, I mean, are you already putting away that much that you necessarily have to squirrel a little bit more away up the rectum?
Look, I don't think there's ever too much that you can place in your rectum, but I guess it's just it's an extra sort of pocket, for want of a better term, in case the authorities, you know, grab the stuff under the wig and go, ha ha, we gotcha. And if you keep shtum, maybe they won't go looking elsewhere.
Mate, what blows me away is that paired with this story is just other stories of other things that people have presented themselves with to emergency, for example,
yes,
of having put up there.
Yes.
And, you know, more recently, and I think you guys were talking about this like a couple of weeks ago or something.
I'm the fitness fanatic.
For want of a better term, yeah. 54-year-old Brazilian male visiting a hospital in the city of Manaus, I hope I've got that right, complaining he was unable to go to the toilet. He felt nauseous and was experiencing stomach pain. And it turned out it was because he had a 2-kilo dumbbell that he'd placed up his bum.
And I think that goes to my point, Pete, is that if one chooses to do this for pleasure, gratification, or, you know, all power to you, but once you present at the emergency department, don't waste their time anymore. You know, you don't need a scan. Just tell them, I've done this with a 2-kilogram dumbbell. I have a feeling that's why I'm struggling to go to the toilet. Don't wait for them to do a scan.
Yeah. If you're looking for
just
something
advice
to Google today, check it out.
Pete, Matt and Kimber!
Guys, I have gotten rid of all of the news sites on Facebook because I thought, don't need to see any of this. And I've replaced it with things that I love. So the only groups that I follow on Facebook now are plants, dogs, and this one group called Weird and Wonderful Secondhand Finds That Just Need to Be Shared. Now, that's one of my favourite pages. It is worth looking at. It's from people all over the world. It's got 2.5 million members.
Wow.
And these are just things that people will find in thrift stores or garage sales that are just out of the ordinary. Things that are weird, a little bit strange, maybe you haven't seen them before, or relics from your childhood that you go, remember this, and people lose their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's a really great positive page, and I love it because there's so much cool stuff. But what makes me incredibly jealous is that in the States, way more cool stuff than we get in our thrift stores.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching those, like, those pickers, American pickers shows.
Yep.
Oh, man, they get some cool stuff there just laying around.
Oh, and they'll be like, look at this wicked sofa that came out of someone's basement covered in plastic and in mint condition. Yeah. It's $100. You know, like, it's just, they're brilliant. And someone put a post up this week that has just got me so excited, because someone went into an antique store in Medford, Oregon. And said, look at what I found. And it's a picture of the Zoltar wishing machine from the movie Big.
One, two, my wish. Right. I wish I were big.
Man.
Dreams come true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a freaky looking thing.
I mean, the movie Big was fantastic.
So remind me, that scene, they're in the like the sideshow alley. It's one of those things, you put a coin in and...
Machine looks like it's off and it's not working and it's going to take his money. And he says, I want to be big, because he's not tall enough to ride on a ride. And he says, I want to be big. And what do you know? His wish comes true and he wakes up the next morning as Tom Hanks as a grown man. It's sensational. One of the greatest films of my childhood. And I was like, I want this Zoltar machine. It looks so creepy and bizarre. And it's in this antique store. And the person said had to leave it behind because it was a bit expensive for her. But I want to know, what is the movie prop that you wish you had?
Oh.
You know, you're just from a movie and you were like, that would be brilliant. Everyone would walk into your house and go, that's amazing.
Well, I mean, speaking of wanting to be big, there was an actor called John Holmes who had a prop that he took to most of his films that I wouldn't mind having. But if I could have the TARDIS.
Oh, yes.
I'd like to have that.
From Doctor Who.
Yeah, and I'd like to turn it into my toilet.
That's a great idea.
Right.
I reckon you could just about pluck any prop from any superhero movie and I'd be happy.
Yes.
But there is one in particular that I would give my left arm for, and that is the original Batmobile from the 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton.
Was that 89. Just a Datsun 180B but with different doors?
Yeah, but with spoilers.
Actually, funnily enough, the new one with Robert Pattinson that's coming out a little bit later on this year, that one is closer to a Datsun 180B. It looks a little bit too close. But anyway, yeah, man. What about you?
Look, I mean, I want the Zoltar machine now that I've seen it. But I want to put it out there, 131060, give us a call and tell us, if you could have a prop from any movie, what would it be? Because I know, remember when Russell Crowe sold all his stuff
from Gladiator? Oh, his Gladiator undies.
People were paying a fortune for all these weird bits. You don't know what it is that's going to attract someone to purchase something like that. But I think just the idea of having it. I mean, even in the movie Big, the piano that they all
the floor piano.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's rad.
Imagine having that as your hallway.
Tell us, what is the movie prop you wish you had? Hayley in Joondalup, what is it for you?
Morning, guys. Well, for me, it is the blue heart from Titanic. You know, the jewellery?
Oh, that Rose has got. Oh, yes.
The heart of the ocean.
And look, I don't know if it would be for sentimental reasons, but I think it would just be more because now it's worth so much money.
Hayley, you can get them at Zammel's.
The heart of the ocean.
Is it a
diamond?
Yes.
56 carats to be exact. It was worn by Louis XVI, and they called it Le Coeur de la Mer. The heart of the ocean. Yes.
There you go.
Oh, she speaks French.
Is that the one where she throws it off the back of the boat at the end of it?
Yes, it is.
Or does she?
Or does she? Oh, great point, Kimber.
There's a bit of the old stick it in your bathrobe and no one will know.
That's a fair point. Yeah. Okay. Sally and Bassendine, good morning to you. What's the prop from a movie that you'd want?
I would love to have the genie lamp from Aladdin.
Oh, well, sure, yes. You mean working? What would your wishes be?
Oh, just a cheeky little $10 million in my bank account.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, Sally, would you ask for more wishes? Are you one of those?
No. 3 wishes is enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, let's speak in the real world here. If it was just the lamp from Aladdin, would it be like a trinket that you'd put somewhere in the house?
Oh, if it was just the lamp that didn't work and didn't have the genie, it'd probably be in a box somewhere in the house.
End up back in a cave.
You just want to know that you've got it.
You know, Sally, I tried to buy one last year because our old producer, Tom, he is really into Aladdin and they were selling them at Big W.
Were they?
Yeah, you could get them as part of their like cup and tea saucer set. And I was trying to get one for him, but they were all sold out. So you can kind of get the cheap rip-off version of the Aladdin lamp if you want.
Can you get a flying carpet?
Oh, great one who summons me. I stand by my oath, loyalty to wishes 3.
I'm kidding. Rush it.
That's the Will Smith version.
Oh,
the
Rock. I thought that was going to be The Rock again.
To find more awesome podcasts, check out our listener app. And to find out more about how RAC Rescue Helicopters help rescue West Aussies on the roads, bush trucks and seas across WA, check out rac.com.au/RAC Rescue. 94.5.